Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to a new episode of Where Sisters Meet. So I believe this is the sixth episode, inshallah. This episode I'm going to be focusing on finding comfort in the religion, in the deen, in praying, in doing zikr, everything related to Islam and how to find peace in Islam in your everyday life, and not to get attached to the dunya, inshallah. Okay, so I might look a little bit different. I don't only have the audio, I am also recording a video today, inshallah. So as I said on my previous episode, I will be uploading videos now to YouTube as well, inshallah. Hopefully this goes well. This is my first time doing this, so hopefully this is a good episode, inshallah. I have already tried to record this episode, but my daughter woke up from a nap. Normally I record at night time, when she's asleep. So let's see if this works out. If not, then I'll be doing it again, inshallah. But yeah, if you are hearing me for the first time and you've seen me for the first time, hello, assalamu alaikum. My name is Alia Khalid and I am 25 years old. I had to think about that. I'm 25 years old. I'm turning 26 in December, inshallah. I am a mother. I have a little girl called Zoya. She is 2. Alhamdulillah, she just turned 2, and I'm currently in the crazy phase right now, toddler phase. The toddler tantrums is insane, but alhamdulillah, I'm trying to get through it. That's all I can do, just try and survive. But yeah, it's going well, alhamdulillah. What else? I am a teacher, so I'm currently training to be a teacher, and I am training to be a secondary English teacher. So secondary school instead of primary. I don't know, but I couldn't do primary school. I did think about it, but I don't think it's for me. I've done experience in there, but yeah, I can't do primary school. I think secondary school is really nice. I believe the kids are a bit more, I mean, you know, kids can be a bit rude and disrespectful, but I think the bond and the relationship that you get in secondary school is much more better. But yeah. So that's enough about me. I do have, if this is your first time listening to me from YouTube and watching me, you can go onto Apple Podcasts or Spotify and there will be episodes there. So I've done about 5 episodes. I've got an intro on the episode 1, all about me and answers and stuff like that, questions and answers. So definitely go check that out if this is your first time watching and listening to me. But yeah, let's get straight into it. So I did ask on Instagram about some questions that you guys would like for me to answer, and I've got 2 questions. So today I want to answer both of them. So the first one is, what made you want to start a podcast? So I did answer this before a couple of times, but I'm so passionate about this podcast. It's something that I feel so passionate about, alhamdulillah, and it's something that I really, really appreciate. It's something for me. The reason why I started it, I've always wanted to start it. It's been years since I was in university, but I think I just never had the confidence to start it alone. I always wanted other people to start it with me, but they were never that passionate. And alhamdulillah, I finally started it, and I really feel like this is a safe space for me to talk about anything and everything. I feel like definitely there's like a gap in our community, in the Muslim community, in the Asian Pakistani community, where you don't really talk about a lot of things, and it's really been just shoved under the rug. And yeah, a lot of things aren't talked about, aren't spoken about, and we should talk about them. Be it struggling with deen, prayer, how to get back onto praying, like a lot of these things aren't spoken about, and it's very normal, but we don't talk about it. And how else are we meant to get advice from someone if it's not talked about? So that's what I want to do. I want to fill in that gap for Muslim women or reverts, or even just women in general that aren't Muslim, just to find that peace within the religion, within the community, know more about Islam. Because I know a lot of people, there's a lot of misunderstandings, a lot of assumptions that come from the religion, from the news, and a lot of people don't actually know the truth behind Islam. But I'm trying to create and build that community where this is a safe environment, we can talk about whatever you like, and I'm here to, inshallah, benefit people. Obviously, I'm not a scholar or a ustada or anything, but I know I've got some experience in my life, and I know a little bit about the religion, and, you know, my mum and everything, so I've got that experience, and I would like to share it on. So, that's why I wanted to make a podcast. I really wanted to build that community. a safe space for women, Muslim women, to talk about everything and anything. So yeah, and finally, I've built that community, and inshallah, I want to push it forward onto YouTube as well, and inshallah, it goes well. So yeah, that's that question. So the next question, I'm looking down by the way because my laptop is there. I've got the questions on there, and I'm recording on my phone. That's why I haven't got my phone on me. I've also got some notes on here because sometimes I will go on a massive tangent and I will completely forget what my topic is or what I'm talking about. So inshallah, I don't go on a rant. Well, I can go on a rant, but I don't want to go on a full rant where I just forget about what I'm talking about in the first bit. Okay, so the second question I wanted to answer in this episode is parents' role in their children's lives. I don't remember if this was from an Islamic point of view or from a general one. But I will be referring to Zoya because obviously I'm a mum and I've just started out my motherhood journey. She's only two, so I'm still learning, as we all are. But I have some points. So, from an Islamic point of view, I mean, they're both the same, general and Islamic, but let's talk about Islamically. Islamically, I believe parents really hold a great value in a child's life because we are the ones who teach them everything from walking, talking, speaking nicely, manners, eating. There's so much that we teach them. We teach them how to learn, grow, everything. So we are the main adults in their life who will shape how, you know, that child will be. So it's, for me, I am a very important person in Zoya's life, as well as her father, because we are the role models for her, and we should be role models for her. So for me, I make sure that I Islamically portray myself in a good way to her. So in this house, we don't swear. I've told my husband, I've told everyone around us, whoever comes to this house, or if she goes to anyone's house, I make sure, like, that no one swears or uses foul language around her because we are not that type of, like, family. We don't swear, especially at home, because I know children are like sponges when they're quite young. Zoya right now, whatever I say, she will pick it up straight away and copy me. So I try my best to not use bad language, otherwise she will pick that up and she will, without learning what it means, she will just carry on saying it and she won't stop. I have noticed that because sometimes I'll be just like shoving my husband as a joke, and she will go and do that to him or go and do that to me. So yeah, I think one thing in the house, if you have young children, make sure you create that Islamic environment in the house. So I make sure I read Quran daily, and if I don't get to read Quran because I'm really busy busy with Zoya, I make sure I listen to the Quran. Sorry, or I put it out loud. Or when she's asleep, so when she goes for her nap and when she goes to bed at night, I have like the Quran cube, which is amazing by the way. I absolutely swear by it. The Quran cube is like just basically a cube, and it's a speaker, and it has like the whole Quran on there, which is amazing because I used to make Zoya sleep with my phone. So my phone, like just YouTube and Quran and surahs. She used to sleep with that, but now I can just play the cube and it will be in her room, and she absolutely loves it. And she knows now that, you know, Quran time, and when it's her bedtime, she knows to put the Quran cube on. So yeah, slowly by slowly, you have to get into that routine of showing your child the beauty of Islam. I know a lot of children, like myself as well, I grew up almost not falling in love with Islam. I found my way and my path to Islam myself in my teenage years. But when we're young, we're not really taught why we love Islam or what's the beauty behind it or why do we pray. We're just kind of forced to do it. And it's something that really should change in this generation, and I think it is changing. Because I believe you can't be forced to love something, love someone, or love a religion. You have to find that peace and that beauty within the religion yourself, you know? You have to grow up. That's why I do this all for Zoya, so that she grows up to be a good Muslim, inshallah, and she finds the beauty and peace in it. And she prays with me. I make sure to pray with her, and she's got a small prayer mat as well. So I make sure to get her prayer mat out, get my prayer mat out, and we pray together. And I always implement all these Islamic values and, you know, everything in our daily routine so that she gets used to it. One other thing is, I do not, if Zoya has done a bad thing, I don't shout at her. I don't swear at her. I don't be rude to her. And yeah, I don't believe in abuse at all towards children. And I know for sure that Islam does not promote that at all as well. It's not tolerated in Islam, whatever relationship it is between a mother, father, wife, husband, or children, abuse should not be tolerated at all, and it is not tolerated. A lot of people pick and choose verses or ayahs from the Quran where it says about like murderers or whatever, but it's not true. A lot of stuff is taken out of context, and we really should try to kind of take those misunderstandings and explain why they are there. You know, if someone comes up to you and says, why is this in the Quran, make sure you go back to them and say, read the whole Quran, read the context behind it, read the ayah or the verse before that, and then you'll get an understanding. So yeah, as a whole, I feel like generally anyway, if you are a non-Muslim or a reaver, just for the future, if you don't have kids, just keep in mind that children, like even in the young ages, they are sponges, they will pick up on everything, and you've got to make sure that you are being respectful in the house Islamically, and then they will pick that love up, you know. This year has been my calling, definitely, alhamdulillah. I have changed so much Islamically. I'm more attached to religion, attached to praying, attached to the Quran, alhamdulillah. And she sees that love that I have for the religion. And in the car, sometimes I put Quran on or some vocals only nasheed. So I put that on because I don't listen to music as well. So I try not to put that on in our house, like music or like anything. I try not to like play that in the house. But yeah, I think definitely parents are like they have a big responsibility towards their children, because if you raise them with abuse and neglect, and they will just go on to kind of be that person, I guess. They will be afraid of the world, they won't be confident. So definitely, if you have young children, or if you are on your journey to, you know, be a mother or a father, whatever. I don't know why I said father, hopefully there's no boys watching this. But yeah, just do your best as you can, and always have the intention to create that Islamic environment, because intentions do matter a lot. I always talk about this, but intentions in Islam, if you intend to do something, let's say I intend to pray Tahajjud tomorrow, so the prayer before Fajr, the night prayer. If I intend to do it and I haven't woken up, it is as if I've done the prayer because I intended to do that, if that makes sense. So if I intend to fast, but I did not wake up for fasting, that's out of my control. If I put the alarms on for prayer or fasting or everything, I done everything, made the intention, went to bed and didn't wake up, that I will still get rewarded because I had the intention. So yeah, anyway, so that's the two questions. Please, if you have any questions or any topics that you'd like me to cover in any of the episodes, or if you want me to talk about something specific, just message me on any of the platforms, message me or leave comments under this video, and I can talk about it, inshallah, if it's appropriate. So yeah, definitely follow all my social media platforms. I will leave it in the link below, but it is literally the same name, so We're Sisters Meet on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube. So inshallah, it should be fairly easy. But yeah, I hope you made it this far into the video, and I hope it's beneficial. But let's get into the real episode. Okay, I'm looking at my laptop because the notes are on here, by the way. So the episode was about finding comfort in the religion. Let's talk about hardships and the ease that comes with it. So a lot of the time, a lot of people pick up on the verse or the ayah, with every hardship comes ease, and I absolutely love that quote. I absolutely love it so much, because that verse in the Quran is just the most beautiful thing ever. It's got me through all my hardships in life. I have been through a fair share of hardships, and it's why I have become this person today. Without those trials and tests, I wouldn't be right here, standing here, smiling. I would be the complete opposite. And alhamdulillah, every time, you know what, I've realized every time I go for a trial or a test, it's as if though beforehand I wasn't that close to Allah, I wasn't close to, you know, the deen, I wasn't praying on time, I wasn't keeping the religion at the forefront of my life. And it's almost like Allah was kind of reminding me, you know, you've kind of let go of Islam, you've kind of let go of the religion, you need to come back. And it's his way of, you know, testing me so that he comes, so that I come back to the religion, come back to prayer, come back to praying and finding peace in the prayer. Because I swear to you, this year has been the most beautiful year of my life. Every year I make the intention to be a better Muslim, to pray properly, to, you know, pray on time, to not rush my prayers, to pray with my full heart and focus. But alhamdulillah, this year has just changed my life. After Ramadan, I made the intention to memorize the Quran and made the intention to read the Quran with a correct pronunciation. I feel like, yes, I would pray, yes, I would do dhikr sometimes, do duas, you know, every year, but I feel like I never had the connection with the Quran. I never had that in my life, and I think that's why I've gone through so many tests and trials, and, you know, I've been hit with depression and all this, like, mental health kind of things. I feel like because that little key was missing in my life, because I didn't have the Quran in my life, I wasn't reading it, I wasn't acting upon it, there was like a missing piece and nothing fit. Whatever I tried to like fit in that gap, it would not fit. And alhamdulillah, this year I started taking Quran lessons to correct my tajweed and my pronunciation, and it's been amazing, alhamdulillah. Every Sunday in the morning I have a Quran lesson. And it's not only to correct that, but it's just the teacher, the ustad, that talks about like the hadith and the prophets, and she always reminds me of like how to be humble and the importance of that and the importance of intentions. So if you are listening and you haven't picked up the Quran recently, you haven't had a relationship with it, I am literally proof that you can do it. I never had the relationship with the Quran until a couple months ago, and I really intended to change my life, and I feel like my life has changed because of having the Quran in my life and intending to, you know, change my life for the better. Yes, I was praying on time, yes, I was doing all the things, but I never really looked at the Quran, I never really opened it every single day. And having that I guess goal in life to memorize the Quran and memorize the teachings of Islam and the prophets and Allah and what he says, I guess I really found the beauty and the peace within it. And now I really, really look forward to reading the Quran, memorizing it. Sure, it is so hard, but Allah will literally humble you in different ways, and you will literally get so many rewards for every single word or letter that comes out of your mouth when you recite the Quran. So remember that the Quran is literally like healing. It is a form of healing. It will heal you in different ways that you don't even know. I've been through so much in life. I don't want to specifically say what I've been through because I feel like that's personal to me. But there's been points in my life where it's been quite bad. And there's been times in my life where I really wanted to give up, and I didn't know a way out of it, or I didn't know how to move past that thing. I mean, some things are still there, lingering about. I do have PTSD, but I feel like with the Quran, with religion, and, you know, keeping that in my heart and keeping that at the forefront of my life and having that to be my focus and goal in life, it's really altered my brain and altered my life. If I didn't focus on the religion this year, if I didn't focus on my prayer and to be a better Muslim, I wouldn't be the person who I am today. And alhamdulillah, I can't take all the credit, obviously. Allah is the best of planners, and Allah is the one who literally puts the love for the religion in my heart. I don't do anything. It's Him who does that in different ways, in so many different ways. And I believe trials are one of them. You go through so many hardships in life to get closer to Allah. When you have slipped, and when you have fallen so far away from the deen, He will bring you back through a hardship in life. He will take someone out of your life and replace it with someone better. And I have really seen that this year. I feel like this year I have connected with so many new people, or so many old people in my life, where we kind of like parted ways and now we've come back. And I feel like it's meant to be. When someone comes into your life after a long time and they've completely changed, That is a miracle. Like, as in, like, Allah has literally placed that person in your life at a different point in your life for a better reason. So yeah, alhamdulillah for the people around me and the friends around me who make me a better Muslim, because if I didn't have that surrounding, if I didn't have those people around me to make me better, I would not be able to do it. It's so many factors in our lives. So yeah, alhamdulillah. I think when you go through hardships in life, the easy thing for us to say is, why does Allah do this to us? Why do we go through this? Why me? We always question, why me? But we never say, alhamdulillah, maybe there is something good behind this. Maybe there's something good that you have saved me from, right? Maybe there is something that was bad that was going to happen, really bad thing that was going to happen. You saved me. So alhamdulillah, we really need to have trust in Allah and His plans and what He has in store for us, because obviously we can plan our whole lives, but Allah is the best of planners, and if our plan does not align with His, it will not happen regardless of how many du'as you do. Our plans are not better than His, and I can definitely agree with that, because alhamdulillah, I am at so much peace right now, and this year I always talk about it. I keep talking about it because you get so lost in the dunya, the world sometimes, but you kind of forget your focus. And a lot of the time we go to work, we, play with our children, we watch TV, we read books, we go out and, go with our friends, and we kind of forget the real purpose. Like, yeah, sure, enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. Go out with your friends, have coffee dates, go out for dinner dates and stuff, but don't forget to pray. Don't forget to read the Quran. Don't forget that you need to pray your salah, So right now in my life, I've made sure to prioritize salah wherever I am. And one step I've taken to make that goal of mine quite easy, not easy, a little bit more easier, is not wearing makeup. So I'm currently not wearing any makeup. It was quite hard for me to get to this point, but alhamdulillah, I made that a vow to myself. I mean, sometimes I'll wear a little bit of mascara and a little bit of blush or bronzer, but I won't wear like concealer or anything, because one, I just don't like how it sits on my face anymore. I feel like so icky about it. And then also two, it gets in the way of prayer. I can't pray with a full face of makeup because I need to do my wudu. I need to wash my hands and do the whole thing, but I can't do that if I've got makeup on. And I always used to miss my prayers because I was out and I had makeup on and I didn't want to take my makeup off. So that was a big barrier between me and my salah and, praying to Allah. So I removed that barrier. And alhamdulillah, these steps that I've taken have literally been the best steps. And Allah has really rewarded me with, the peace that I'm currently feeling. So alhamdulillah. Honestly, it's so true. I'm just looking at my laptop because it's so true. I live by this, by the way. When Allah says when He comes to me walking, I came to Him running. So let's just explain that a little bit more. So Allah says when He comes to me walking, He's talking about His servants. So us, when we go to Him walking, Allah literally comes to us running. So literally, if we take a few steps towards Him, He will literally come running towards you. And by that we mean, when I, even if I don't pray 5 times a day, if I pray 2 times a day, Allah will literally bless you and guide you to the right way, because He knows you are making that effort. He knows that you are putting in that effort to help you. He knows that you are making changes in your life so that you can put Islam in the forefront of your life and make that your goal and make that your purpose in life. So whenever you think that you are not doing enough, or you are not praying enough, you're not reading the Quran enough, just remember that everyone is at different stages of their life, and Allah is watching, and He knows the intention behind what you are doing, even if it's starting with one prayer or the fard. When I just got back into praying, so I think this year I've definitely put my prayers and my salah and everything like first. But last year, the last couple of years, I really didn't pray enough. Some days I'd just not pray for days, for like weeks, and it would be the norm for me. And then finally I'd go back to praying, and then I'll fall off again. It was just a continuous cycle of praying, not praying, praying, not praying, and it was just something that I couldn't deal with. And finally, Allah literally like changed my life this year. And you know, I made the intention to do so many things, so like reading the Quran, memorizing it, dressing more modestly. And just because of those intentions, Allah guided me through so many different ways and made that happen. So Alhamdulillah, I'm grateful for everything. To even be able to sit here and record this podcast is for a reason. Everything we do in life is literally for a reason, and there's a deeper meaning behind everything. So Alhamdulillah. But yeah, if you are going through a hardship in life, just remember that Allah is watching and He has the greatest plan for you. If He removes one of your best friends, just remember there might be a bigger reason behind that. Maybe they are backstabbing you. Maybe they weren't a true friend. Maybe they were taking you away from the folds of Islam, and He had to remove them for you to stay within the religion and the teachings of Islam. So if you are going through something hard in life, if you are struggling in life, just remember that Allah always has a plan for you, regardless of the plans that we have. Like for me, I am always planning years in advance. I know what I want to do next year, but I forget that Allah literally plans my life before I do. I can plan so much of my life, but if it isn't aligning with Allah's plans, it will not go through. And I know for a fact Allah makes the plans, and it is better for me, better than the plans that I do for myself. So Alhamdulillah, I have the peace knowing that, you know, I've been taken care of. If I am, you know, doing the dhikr and doing prayer and praying on time and everything, if I'm taking care of that part of my life, Allah will surely reward me with everything. And just remember, you get rewards for even bearing a little bit of pain from the hardships that you have been through. You get so many rewards for being patient in life, for going through those hardships and going through that, you know, that pain that you're feeling, whatever you're going through. It might be a heartbreak, it might be a divorce, it might be losing a friend, it might be losing your parents, it might be a death in the family. Whatever it is, whatever hardship you are facing, Allah literally knows, and He puts so much peace in your heart. But you just have to trust Him. You have to trust that His plan is the best plan. And that's it. I keep saying that because we need to really trust Allah a lot of the time. I mean, I said this before, a lot of the time we just question Allah and whatever He's doing, and we question whether it's right. And we really need to just, you know, say Alhamdulillah, and that's it. I trust you, you know? But yeah, inshallah, this has helped you. I just wanted to talk about, you know, finding comfort in Islam, because a lot of us, we pray, we, you know, enjoy life, we pray. We worship Allah and everything, but we don't have the complete comfort in life. We don't, you know, find that comfort in the religion. Maybe it's because we're not doing everything that we can. Maybe we're not giving 100% into every single thing, into praying, reading the Quran. I am telling you, when you are upset in life, and if anyone is upset, if my friends are upset, if they are going through something in their life, I always ask them, how is your relationship with Allah, or how, like, have you been praying? Because I swear to you, I've been through this. When I'm in a tough phase in my life, I will just fall off the religion. I will like not pray. I will not want to pray at all. When I'm feeling unwell, I will not pray. But this year, I have vowed to myself that I know that everything is a test. So when you pray, when you're upset or down or feeling ill or feeling depressed, you will feel 10 times better after just taking that little step to actually get up and, you know, pray. That is the biggest thing you can do for yourself, because after you've taken that hard step, everything gets better. It's like when you wake up for Fajr, that step just to wake up for Fajr, prayer time, it is the hardest thing because it is in the middle of the night. It is around 4 3 4 a.m. But that is the hardest thing, and once you've done it once or twice, it gets so much more easier. And it's because recently I've just started to implement, you know, regular prayers in my life. And I am not perfect, by the way. I'm not a perfect Muslim. Every single day I try my best to read every single prayer on time, read Quran every single day, but some days I will not touch the Quran, and then I will see that, you know, my day might not be going that well, and it's because I haven't had that routine in place. I haven't touched the Quran, I read it, you know. So we've just gotta, find that peace in the religion, because that's where you get the peace from. As Muslims, there's a reason why the Quran was sent down to us. There's a reason why the religion is there and the teachings are there and we're supposed to follow it. It's because it kind of saves you from the heartbreak, from the ache, and from the pain of this world. This world is literally temporary. Our journey, our destination is inshallah to Jannah, and that is where we will get everything, as long as we have earned it and we have lived life like a true Muslim. And it's a reminder for me, before I remind anyone else anyway, to live your life like it's your last day. So live today like it's your last day, and remember that every day is not promised. We are not promised tomorrow. We could wake up and we could go to sleep and not wake up tomorrow. We don't know that. So instead of planning, maybe just make sure that today you have done everything possible to please Allah and please, the way you are going through life, please Allah and everything you are doing. So praying, make sure you're taking everything off your list. If you find it easier, honestly, get a notebook and journal and start ticking it off. And physically ticking it off, because I am like that. When it's a to-do list at school or whatever, I have to tick it off, and I have to, do that. Otherwise, I don't find peace. I'm an old school girl where I have to tick stuff off. I don't really like doing it on my phone because I feel like it's not actually done. So yeah, honestly, journaling is the best form of letting your feelings out. So I recommend it 100%, even if it's a to-do list or mapping your day out. When are you going to read Quran? When are you going to pray a little bit extra? When are you going to, put some dhikr time in? When are you going to say astaghfirullah? When are you going to do all of this? Make sure you plan it out and make sure you're ticking it off your list, because you need to prioritize Islam to get those rewards, to get those, to get to our end goal, which is Jannah, inshallah. But yeah, I hope this episode has helped you. And honestly, if anyone is going through something hard right now, if your relative is unwell, if you've been through a really tough phase recently, just know that Allah is watching you, and he is rewarding you for your patience. You get rewarded all the time for your patience and how patient you are. And if you're remembering Allah, honestly, just say his name. Just say, oh Allah, help me through this, guide me through this, because I'm struggling. Some days it is really difficult, but you've just got to push through and know that Allah has the best of plans, and we are just there worshipping him. But we will see in the afterlife, we will get so much, inshallah. We just have to work hard in this dunya. Guys, reminder, you can have fun in this life and also be Islamic. A lot of the times when you see I know how people look at me. A lot of the times maybe they see me in an abaya, in a hijab, and they think I don't have fun. I have fun, but within the folds of Islam. I don't listen to music, I don't drink alcohol, I don't do any of that stuff. But I have so much fun in my life. Literally, I live my life every day and I have fun. But I do the things that I enjoy that are halal, and I don't do anything haram. So yeah, find the joys in Islam and still enjoy your life, because you are allowed to. It's halal to enjoy your life every day. But make sure you are at least, praying 5 times a day, reading the Quran, remembering Allah, and giving charity, and doing all the things that will give you peace. Because once you find that peace in the religion, trust me, your life will change and you will get endless, endless rewards and blessings and barakah in your life. So yeah, live your life literally with prioritizing Islam. So yeah, I'm gonna leave it as that now. Inshallah, you've benefited from this episode and I didn't go on a whole tangent, inshallah. But yeah, hopefully the video is good and the mic worked, because I've got a mic, if anyone has noticed this fluffy thing here. But yeah, my brother-in-law actually sorted me out with this, so alhamdulillah for him. He's literally helped me find this mic, which is amazing, because I'm currently recording my phone, so we will sort that out later. But yeah, inshallah, I will see you all in the next episode. I hope you all loved the episode and you benefited from it, and inshallah, you all find peace within the religion and make those steps towards, finding that peace. And inshallah, you will. Just look after yourselves and smile through everything. And yeah, have a good weekend. What am I saying? I'm actually recording this on Tuesday. So I'm quite early, but I hope you have a lovely rest of your weekend and enjoy the summer, even though it is quite cool and humid out there. But enjoy what you can and say Alhamdulillah always. So you look after yourselves and Assalamu alaikum.